back to Overdue. I'm Coach Hill, your main building librarian. In today's episode, I'll make up for lost time and provide some updates on the library. So I wanted to start off this episode by apologizing. We had to miss our last regularly scheduled episode of Overdue for a number of factors. I was sick, and also when I was at school, both Miss Watts and myself were needed in some other areas of the school, and frankly, we just weren't able to find the time to sit down and record. We actually did try at one point, and it just wasn't happening. So I'm thankful that we're able to get this one out on time. Unfortunately, though, for this one, as you may have heard in the intro, I'm going solo today. Miss Watts is unable to be here with me, but we really didn't want to miss another one, because that would have been, you know, with our 2-week publish window, that would have been 6 weeks between episodes, and we just really didn't want to do that. So I'm going to be here today talking about a few things by myself so that we can get this episode out, and then, you know, if everything gets back to how it should be, then we'll both be back for the next episode. So first things first, I need to, and this was going to happen on the last one, but again, we didn't publish, but I need to finally give my review of the second book that I had committed to reading over this past summer, and I did not. And that was World War Z by Max Brooks. And I had talked a little bit in previous episodes about why I had picked this book, and I'll just go over that again briefly. But the style of writing in this book is something that appeals to me, where you're reading these shorter kind of first person, almost like primary document-ish accounts of something, and that is how the story is told. And the reason that I like it so much is because it kind of leaves you as the reader a little bit to connect some of the dots on your own, or put some pieces together on your own. And you're kind of being told this story through the eyes of multiple different people. At least that's the case for this book, because this book is essentially told through interviews of different people around the world that played different roles in the war against the zombies. And I'm going to say this about World War Z, just on a personal level as a reader. I don't tend to gravitate towards horror novels. And I think that that's more a product of me not gravitating towards horror movies, which are not the same thing. I'm just not a fan of like the shock factor of where like something makes your heart skip a beat, or something makes you jump out of your chair when you're watching certain types of horror movies. It freaks me out, frankly, and I just don't like it. I think though with horror novels, at least with my limited experience with them, like I don't know that there's something that you can read that's going to make you like physically jump. However, for me, the horror aspect of World War Z that was really, really, really appealing as a reader is this idea that as you're reading, and this didn't happen for me until maybe like 2/3 to 3/4 of the way through the book, but you're reading all of these people's memories of the war, and you're reliving their terror and the things that they saw and the things that they felt. And although as the reader you're sitting there reading this book about, you know, a zombie uprising and the war against that, and although you know with every piece of logic in your head that this is a fiction novel and there's not going to be a zombie uprising and war against the zombies, you almost, at least for me, at some point start to get this idea in the back of your head as you're reading about these people reminiscing about their experience. Reminiscing might be too gentle of a word, but you start to wonder, like, how would I react if this were happening? How terrified would I be if this were happening in real life? Will this happen at some point in my life? And again, you quickly brush that aside because obviously it's not going to. But what if it did? What if it did? And that thought, at least for me, I was unable to remove that thought from my head as I finished the book. And that's a credit to the style of writing. That's a credit to the author, Max Brooks. Obviously, in order to create this level of terror within the reader, there has to be some level of believability, despite the fact that it's a fiction novel. And I appreciated that a lot. Like, I'm still not quite over it yet. And I think that's a good thing. Like, that type of horror for me, I can deal with more so than the scary movies that I was describing, or like going to a haunted house or something where people are jumping out at you or things are dropping from the ceiling. Like, that kind of horror, I just don't like it. But reading, it's a little bit different. And although for the last time I'll say I'm embarrassed that I couldn't uphold my commitment to read it over the summer, I am glad that I did read it, because I did enjoy it. One thing that I'm going to do too, I had seen this movie years ago, and it had been so long that I don't remember anything. I hadn't remembered anything about it. I don't know. I can't comment on how similar or dissimilar the movie is to the book. However, I am going to take some time here in the next couple of days and watch the movie again now that I've read the book, and just see what that experience is like. But moving on, so not for the next episode that comes out, but for the one after, that week will be the week right before Banned Books Week. So the next book that I want to read and talk about here on the podcast, I wanted that to be something that we have in the library that has been a challenged book, a banned book. And so I was looking over our list that Miss Watts put together last year of banned books that we have in the library, and I was just kind of going through them and seeing what I haven't read and what might be interesting to read. And I came across one that came out 4 or 5 years ago that was wildly popular when it came out. It's still wildly popular, frankly. And it was just one of those that, like, you never get to. Like, it just, I never read it. I always knew about it. You know, it wasn't that I didn't want to read it. I just never read it. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that now. So this book was a number one New York Times bestseller. And according to the Washington Post, it was challenged for, quote, profanity, and it was thought to promote an anti-police message, unquote. Again, like I said, this book was a huge success when it came out, and it's still a huge success. And I just never read it. I know a lot of people have, and I just haven't. But I will be reading The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas over the duration of the next two podcast episodes. And I'll be excited to talk about that leading into Banned Books Week. And I'm also excited to hear what Miss Watts will be choosing to read leading into Banned Books Week. So next time we have an episode won't be that episode. So we'll be able to hear directly from Miss Watts what she's going to be choosing for that episode for Banned Books Week. And we'll also get to hear her review of, I think it was The Left-Handed Booksellers of London. I think I have that title right, because that was the book that she was going to talk about today. So moving on, we have, again, missing an episode of the podcast. We have a lot of things that are going on in both of our libraries, and I just want to take some time to update everybody on those and fill you in with what's going on, because Miss Watts and I both are very, very, very excited and happy with the steps that we've been able to take in this first month of school in improving our library space and our library organization, and just frankly, the purpose and meaning of our two libraries. Stay with me. Okay, so to finish up here, I've got a list of things to talk about, things that we just have going on in both of our libraries. They're in no particular order here, just things that we wanted to update everyone on, because we have a lot going on and we have a lot of exciting and cool things going on in the libraries and then, you know, in a broader scope for all of White House High School. So first, we talked about this on the first episode, but Miss Watts and I were both, the first task we had this year was weeding our books. And for those that are unfamiliar with the term, you can think of it like weeding a garden, right? Getting rid of the stuff that you don't want in there. We have a lot of good books in both libraries, and the way that they currently were, they were kind of being lost in the sea of old, irrelevant, sometimes damaged books. And so our first step was to get all of those older books that weren't circulating, that nobody's really interested anymore. Maybe we're frankly, in terms of nonfiction, out of date with information that's out of date. Get those off the shelf. And so I'm happy to say that both of us have completed, we'll call that phase one of this process. And we've gotten all those old books out of the way so that we can make our shelves nicer to look at, which makes them easier to browse and easier to find the book that maybe will be your next favorite. The next phase of this project is for us to now reclassify our fiction books in our online catalog so that when you're searching online for a book, maybe you don't know exactly what you want, but you're kind of browsing on the online catalog. You can see, if you find one that you like, you can see where it is. Is it a fantasy book? Is it a sci-fi book? So this process won't take nearly as long as the first phase of getting the old books physically out of the way. But you'll see shortly when you look at books, a fiction book specifically in our catalog, you'll see the word fantasy or the word sci-fi or the word realistic for realistic fiction in the call number as the beginning of the call number, so you know right where that book is. And I will say this also kind of along those lines. Part of us getting rid of the old books is there's going to be a lot of books when you search the catalog that are going to say unavailable. And just know, without me going on too long here about why we have to do that, just know that that's temporary. Those books are currently, even though they're going to show up in your search on the catalog, they're not available for checkout. And that's why they say unavailable. And we don't want them to show up in your search. But again, without me going on and on here about why this is a thing, just know that it's a temporary thing. And at some point, they won't even come up at all. Okay. Moving on, I've been very pleased and fortunate to work with a handful of classes already this year in teaching about citing sources using the rules of APA. It's one of the reasons that one of the roles that Ms. Watts and myself can fill is being familiar with the rules, knowing where the rules are. APA for me, and Ms. Watts is your person if you need help with MLA, which is used, of course, in our English classes. But we've had some really successful lessons. There's been a lot of good questions, students getting familiar with the process, and frankly, a process that as you move on in education, and really also in high school, which is why we're doing it here too, but it's a required process. There are rules, universal rules that we're expected to follow when we're citing our sources and formatting our reference pages and our papers and so forth. So that's been a really fun thing for me to do to begin the school year here in this first month. I think my favorite part of it has been after the fact, because, you know, it's just one lesson that we do it in, and then the classes kind of go on their way, and they're using the things that they were taught and using the resources that they were given. But my favorite thing has been when students come back in to see if they're doing it right for whatever project they're doing in class, or ask questions about something that they need to cite for a class project. That's been the best part. And that's one of my main roles here is for our students to be able to just come into the library and get help with their APA formatting or their APA citations. Another big fun thing that we've got going on in the libraries is we finally have our coffee bars reopened. That's been a hot topic, no pun intended. But Ms. Watts and I both had been fielding a ton of questions about when we were going to reopen our coffee bars. And as I'm sure we know by now, they are open, and we're excited to be able to offer that also from both of our libraries. Another thing, just moving down the list here, we have two giveaways. One of them has been completed. One of them was for making the hole-in-one on the mini golf. And we've been able to hand out that gift card already. And then we've still got another one ongoing on Instagram. Check us out at @BDP_library. As soon as we hit 250 followers, we'll be giving away another Sonic gift card. You'll see the rules on the post. And I'll repost the post to our story because we've had a few since then. And we're slowly but steadily making our way to 250. So I think it's going to happen soon. But if you're interested in winning that Sonic gift card, check out that post that I made earlier in the year. I'll repost it to our story. So you can easily find it, and do whatever it says to do in there in terms of tagging friends so you can get yourself entered to win that giveaway. And then two more things. One is we have a new logo, which again, we also unveiled on our Instagram @BDP_library. And for us, this is much more than just having a logo. Without giving too much away, without giving anything away, really, Miss Watts and I have, I don't want to say ambitious plans, but they are, but they're realistic also. They're things that we want to accomplish, that we can accomplish and that we will accomplish, that are kind of tied into this idea of now having kind of a BDP library brand, and the logo is certainly part of that. And then speaking of that, the last thing that I want to touch on, and it's a shame that Miss Watts isn't here to talk about it because it was a conversation that she had with a student, or students, but I want to get it out there, is so one of the things that we want to do with this podcast, with Overdue, there's a number of goals that we have, of things that we want to accomplish by having a library podcast. And one of them is ultimately to have some library programming, where we teach our students how to have a podcast and kind of guide them along the way. You know, we are by no means experts in this process. We're still very much learning as we go. But it's something that we have fun with and that we enjoy, and we want our students to be able to experience that also. And part of that is Miss Watts creating this podcast studio up here in her library. But all that's to say that she had a few students approach her that want to start a podcast, and I won't give away too much about what their idea is. That's maybe that'll come at a later date, but that was super exciting to hear from her. I know she was super excited to have that conversation, and we're super excited to be able to, as the library, kind of sponsor that, you know, from the BDP library, from the Overdue podcast, be able to sponsor, something for our students, and teach them kind of a new skill. So that's a really cool thing. And, I'll let Miss Watts talk more about that, when she's back for the next episode. But for right now, it's time for me to check out. Be sure to follow us on Instagram @BDP_library and share us with a friend. And check back with us every other Wednesday for the next episode of Overdue. Make time to read. Thanks for listening.